Okay, he's going to strengthen us in the inner man, you know. Let me give you a little secret here. God has no purpose of going around slaying people and making them tingle and wingle. If you want an experience, fine, but it doesn't prove anything. When God strengthens, he strengthens the inner man. He never puts an emphasis on the outer. It's interesting, you know. Only time the outer is dealt with is when there is healing and God's doing it. So a lot of these kind of experiences don't prove nothing. They have the same experiences in voodooism. They may or may not be God, but they don't prove nothing spiritually. So it don't mean you're spiritual because you shake and quake or fall on the floor or have any of these things. They don't prove nothing. They make you happy, good. But scripturally, they don't prove nothing. God strengthens in the inner man. Why? It's the inner man that has to deal with sin. Your flesh really don't have to, the outward. It does what your inner man, the old man or the new man, says. Do you know that? Your body and your mind and your senses have to obey the old or the new man. They have no other power. So that's why we need the new man strengthened. The new man is where Christ is yoked with us. And we grow in grace. We grow in strength. We go from different levels. Remember, grace is given in measure. God gives himself in measure. He even gives his strength in measure. So we need to understand that. So he wants the inner man strengthened. Why? Because it's the inner man who does the warfare. It's the inner man. When your inner man is where he's supposed to be, you know what happens? Your conscience is at peace, and you have the willpower. Yes, you heard me right. People don't like to talk about willpower, do they? So many ministers tell you how you have to sin every day. The scripture says, when the inner man is strengthened, you do not have to obey sin anymore. Where does the obedience come from? The will. See, he strengthens the will to obey. Remember Paul in Romans 6 called grace when he said, shall we continue in sin because we're under grace? He says, God forbid. Don't you know that who you obey, that's who your master is? And then he said, either obey sin that leads to death or obey righteousness. He called being under grace obeying righteousness. This is astounding. He meant what? You have given the power, the right to obey God instead of disobeying him anymore. You don't have to yield to your old woman anymore. You don't have to willfully sin against God. You don't have to lie, cheat, steal, or do any of these things. And if you do it, it's because you obeyed the old woman or the old man. It's not because you have to. Because he said what? We have been given a spirit of a sound mind. Who is who? Christ. And we have been given a power that the world has not been given. So we are without excuse. See, we have to obey God. That's the new covenant. We have been given the ability to obey Christ. And that's why I said we are to yoke ourselves with him. That's what Jesus meant when he said, without me you can do nothing. But then he says, and through Christ Jesus you can do all things. Why? Because of the Spirit that strengthens you, you can obey him. So when these people tell you they have to sin, tell them then they're the child of the devil. That'll get them thinking. Jesus said, if you are under the power of sin, then Satan's your father. He made it very plain. You're not free. Whom the Son sets free is free. What is he free from? He doesn't have to sin against God no more. That's what he's free from. It ain't like the heretics say. He hasn't been given a license to sin. No, he's given the power not to sin. That's the difference. Okay? You see, we're talking about willful knowing sin. That's what we're talking about there. Okay, he wants the inner man strengthened because when the inner man is strengthened, you can will to do God's will. I can prove it to you. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for God works in you to will and do of his good pleasure. See, who is it? It's Christ saying, I will, and because I will, if you link yourself to me, you will. And we can say, then I will obey. Why? Because Christ strengthens me and I don't have to disobey. He gives me the ability to obey the Father because I've linked myself with him. He is the power to do. See, this is the grace that works. This is the grace that labors. See, it's Christ in us. He works out of us. See, that's when you can tell if the person's really a Christian. Not the talkers, not the professors. But the what? Possessors. And the possessors live it. They don't talk it. Okay? All right. Not only does he want the Spirit to strengthen you with all power, but he says in the inner man, and there's a reason for this. Notice the outcome. that Christ may dwell in your spirits. That's what heart means. That Christ may dwell in your spirit through faith. Notice the connection now. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. When we enter in and obey God and we submit to the Holy Spirit, you do not have to drum up faith. Faith comes as a fruit. Faith comes easily. Faith is an assurance. And remember John said, if your heart does not condemn you, you have assurance before God that whatever you ask, He will do. Notice you have faith there without even mentioning faith. He says, and we know that whatever we ask of Him, we receive because we do those things that are pleasing in His sight. And what did they do? They obeyed Him to the degree that their conscience did not find them guilty. And so they could come to God with a faith. See, you can't come to God with faith when you ain't right with God. You'll always have doubt. And you have a right to have doubt. Because He says that He don't hear people who are in sin and disobedience. He said, I will not hear you. So see, you see the connection. That if we have access to the Father, and we have a purified conscience, and our body sprinkled by the water, the washing of the Word, it means it takes care of the sin. It judges us. We take care of it. Then we can come and start talking to God. And finding out what the will of the Father is. And how to believe for what the Father wants believed for, not necessarily what we want believed for. Okay, so the end of this inner man, if He strengthens the inner man, Christ will dwell in us in a different way. Remember, we only have an inner man as we're yoked to Jesus. That's what makes us have an inner man, a new man. Apart from Jesus, you're still the old. You don't have the capability to be new. That's what it means. Walk in newness of life. And see, as we grow in grace and obedience, then we get more of Christ. We grow in Him. We not only grow in the knowledge of Him, we grow in power with Him. See, this is maturity. See, He's not talking about head knowledge now. Knowledge puffs up. Even head knowledge of the Bible doesn't profit you a bit until you put it into practice, until the Spirit shows you how it's to work. Okay? And notice what He says, that Christ may dwell in your spirits. Spirit, your conscience, and your will. That's the spiritual side of you. Did you know that? Your conscience, your will is in your spirit. This is where your intuition is. This is where your spiritual knowing is. This is where the Holy Spirit convinces you're a Christian. And the mind is very secondary. See, and the emotions are very fickle. God never said He'd bear witness with your body and flesh. And you'll know you're a Christian because you walk around all day doing this. He didn't say that, did He? A lot of people think that that's the sign. You know? Well, let me give you a little secret. The Mormons get the burning bosom. And that convinces them they're right. Are they right? No. The people in voodoo get this, and they fall on the floor and kick, and they go into a trance. Peter went into trances. I guess they're Christians too, aren't they? Proves nothing. Okay? It's a spiritual knowing. It's when the spiritual person is enlightened. It has nothing to do with your emotions. See, people are caught up emotions and moods that are fickle. It's good to have emotions. But they don't bear witness with you. Let me give you a little secret. Your emotions, you can wake up one day and you don't feel good at all, do you? And many people sit and think, well, I wonder what I did. I wonder what God's mad at me. Excuse me. He ain't mad at him. They're just idiots. God didn't say, I'm going to make you feel good all day long. And that's the sign that you're a Christian. Let me tell you a little secret. Paul got beat with rods, and he didn't feel good. And yet he was in prison singing praises to God. Why? He had an inner man. And he could say, I'm in great sorrow for my lost Jewish brethren. And then at the same time, he was the one who kept saying what? Rejoice. And again I say, rejoice. And he was capable. See, most people's religion is nothing but a roller coaster. And that's why they'll never go nowhere. Their religion is nothing but an emotional experience. You'll never go nowhere with God, I can guarantee you. You'll never go nowhere. You'll serve God because it's your duty to serve God. The same as when you're married and you have kids and you go out and work. You do it because it's your duty. And normal people don't get up every morning and say, do I feel like going to work? Most people, half the time, they don't feel like going to work, do they? Why do they go? Their will says, go. I have to live. There's consequences if I don't. I don't get bread on my table. My children don't get their little things done. But how many people, every morning they get up, oh, I just feel like doing it. See, if that's the way your religion is, you're never going to live with God. Because God never promised that. He wants the same thing from you that you give your husband, your wife, your children, and your job. He wants your duty, whether you feel like it or not. And until you learn that, you'll never go into maturity. You can't. See, that's why some people never grow year after year after year. They're always spiritual beggars. They're always whining. Because, see, they never can grow up. Why? Because the inner man won't be strengthened. They're still asking God, oh, I want to feel good. Make me feel good. Make me feel special. He says, I will. So he takes a rod to you. Well, I don't mean that. He said, well, you're special. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. Come here, let me beat you some more. You want to go by feelings? Okay. So you get my point. Nothing wrong with feelings. Just don't let them rule you spiritually. See, that's the secret. Your moods will come and go. You know, your spiritual walk is supposed to be maintained consistently. No matter how you feel, you serve the Lord. Okay? And see, we've given the power to do that. The Spirit gives us the ability to do this. Okay. That Christ may dwell in you through faith. That you being rooted and grounded in love. The love here is not only from God, it's from God through us. Again, if you take the go back further, he's talking about this living temple. Remember, the Bible says it builds itself up, edifying itself in love. Love simply expresses who God is and whatever attribute it comes out in. Kindness, joy, truth. How come when people talk about love, they rarely talk about truth? You know, because they don't know what the love of God is. They think it's a sentimental thing. They think it's an emotional thing. It has very little to do with this. It says, love rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in truth. Now, how can all of these heretics be in the love of God and talk so much about love and unity when they don't walk in truth? It's because they got false Jesuses. See, you can't love God and live a lie. I don't care how kind you are to people and what you give for people. Paul said you can give your body to be martyred, and it profits you nothing. You can give all your money, and a lot of humanitarians do this, and they still go to hell. Because they're not walking in truth. See? John talked more about love than anyone, didn't he? But he didn't say, I find no greater joy that my brethren walk in love. He said, I find no greater joy that my children walk in truth. Isn't this interesting? See? Love can be vague. But Paul describes what the fruit of the Spirit is and what God is. And then you'll see it has to do with righteousness and holiness and truth. This is what love is. And kindness. These are attributes. But see, not one of them sum up what love is. God is truth. And God is love. And they can't be in conflict with one another. Okay, for God so loved the world, he gave his son. But because God is just and holy, he's going to send most people to hell. Is love going to override his holiness and his truth? By no means. He said what? Your very words will justify you at the end. The Word of God. It didn't say how you loved people, really. Isn't it interesting? People have misunderstood this scripture. Jesus said, by your love one for another, men will know you are my disciples. But he never said that love would save anybody. It's only the preaching of the Word of truth that saves people, not love. Isn't it interesting? Simply, they'll know you're in a covenant. They'll know y'all have a different family relationship by your care one for another. But that doesn't save people. It's when the gospel of truth is proclaimed is the only way people are saved. See? Because truth is love, too. See? And we need to put these together. Then we understand they're not meant to be separated. Don't let people talk to you about love and unity when they don't know truth and holiness. They're false. They're imposters. Paul called them imposters. They're sentimentalists. They're romantics. You know? But see, all of that is of the natural realm. Has nothing to do, very little, with the spiritual realm. I give you a harder one. That's why Jesus said, unless you hate your mother, your wife, your children, your own life, you can't be my disciple. Notice he did away with sentimentality right there. He said, it's your duty to me that takes precedence. He that loveth father, mother more than me is not worthy of me. And then he goes a little, gets real personal. And he that loveth his own self can't serve me. Now, talk about love. See, he goes a step further. He's saying, your duty to me, you keeping my commandment is what I consider love, not your sentimentality. See, sentimentality is great if it's built in truth. But see, it's moods. It's of the natural realm. It passes. That's why Paul even went so far as to say, a lot of people don't like this. And you that are married, be as if you're not married. Oh. I remember someone told me one time, well, the Lord wouldn't call me to the mission field because I've got 8 kids and I'm married. And God knows that'd be just too much trouble. There ain't no problem with God. I told him, I said, God will kill all 8 of your kids and your wife and then you'll be free. He looked at me so funny. I says, you don't understand Scripture, do you? He says, you that are married, be as if you're not married. It means you're going to serve God whether you're married or not. God ain't going to free you. You ain't going to be able to say to God, well, I'm married now if I can't come. So that's why Paul said, I would spare you. If you can't serve God single, get married. Don't matter anyway. You can go to hell. See, if you're married or not married, don't matter to God. What matters to God is, are you going to serve me? Are you going to put me first before everybody else? If you can't do that, it don't matter how you live anyway, does it? Okay, moving along. Wasn't that edifying? Okay, rooted and grounded in love. Rooted and grounded in love. See, if we have the love for God and the love from God, then we can do what God requires. Then we can will to do His will. And we can serve Him when our family, our desires, our own nature says, but I want this, God, I want this. And God says, but that's not what I want right now. And you say, nevertheless, then your will be done. That's called dying daily. That's what Paul and Jesus meant when they said, take up your cross daily. That's all it meant. See, he wasn't against marriage. He wasn't against family. He wasn't against singleness. He wasn't against any of this. He's simply saying, your duty to me must take first place all the time. And I will not take any excuses from you. See, it's very simple. And once we learn that, it's very simple. Okay. Rooted and grounded. This means it's not something that's fleeting. This is something that's stable. This is something that motivates us. What? The love of God constrains us, Paul said. It constrains us, what? At times to give up our own life. It constrains us to lay down our life for the brethren. It constrains us to turn our own family away when it comes to the will of God. And let me tell you, it takes the love of God to do this. The natural human self don't like doing this. Let me tell you a secret. It don't come naturally. Nobody inherits that. It's a cross and it's a dying. But see, then you begin to say, boy, I am going to need grace. You know? Well, Abraham sure needed it, didn't he? When God says, after all those years, he said, I want your son. And interesting how God worded it. You know, after 20-some years of believing, then he gets the son. The son's about 16 or 17. And then God says, take your son. And it's interesting what God says, whom thou lovest. He wanted Abraham to know who he was talking about. See? And he says, and I want you to offer him to me. And he had a 3-day journey to think about it. See, no one is called a great man of faith. You think he willingly wanted to give up his son? Do you think he said, oh, praise the Lord, praise the Lord? No. But he knew his duty to God. And God later told him, when he raised his hand to kill him, he was dead as far as they... And God says, don't you touch him because I know you fear me. See, that's what God considers loving him, is reverence me and obey my word at all cost. Because he'll give what? Grace to do it? He can change or he may not. That's his prerogative. Okay, but until the inner man is strengthened, we could not do these things. See, that's why we need grace. There's certain things you just can't do in the natural. Your natural person won't let you do it. It has too much of a hold on you. And we need to be freed from this at times to do God's will. Before you can give up, at times you have to be what? Strengthened. You have to be strengthened. And then you can what? You can do God's will. And it doesn't mean it's always easy. It's still hard. But you can give up. And see, we need to keep going back to that scripture. You are not your own. You're bought with the price. And he that loveth father, mother, or child more than me is not worthy of me. And cannot be my disciple. Notice he didn't say they might not. He said they what? Cannot. Now, when you preach that kind of gospel, how many people get saved? Now you see why many people aren't getting the right gospel. See, if they were told this from the beginning, many people wouldn't mess with religion. But see, when you're told the truth, what do you say? You say the same thing as when you were convicted of sin. Oh my God, what am I going to do? Oh my God, I can't come to God. I'm such a sinner. And then God says, what? But I'll give you the ability to repent. And say, oh, I can't give this up. And God says, but I'll give you the ability if you're willing. See, that's all he says. See, he doesn't require us to do it in our own strength, but he still requires to count the cost. And see, many people never count the cost. That's why they got the false gospel. They were never told from the beginning. They were told God might want you. No, God didn't say that. He said, I will. See? And once you get that settled, you'll be settled. See? And once you walk in that, you know God has the right over me at any time to require whatever He pleases. And I can ask, and I can inquire, and I can give an opinion, but when God says, this is what I want, then we say what? Your will be done. But it still doesn't make it easy. But He gives us the ability, and He's going to test each one of us, because we cannot go deep otherwise. We got too many idols. Okay, He wants us to be strengthened in the inner man, that Christ will dwell in us through faith, that we'll grow in the love of God, the love for God, the love from God, working in us. This is the fruit of the Spirit. We love Him because He first loved us. We don't have a natural love for God. We are at enmity with God. We have a natural fear of God until the old man and the old woman's dealt with. Okay? And notice what he said. Then something's going to happen that you may be able, some say strong, we can see why that would be needed, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, the length, the depth, and the height. People wrote volumes on this. They've debated this. So I'll just give you a few points on this. He's summing up all things that Christ gives us, all depths, all maturity at different levels. I'll give you a few scriptures. You'll understand part of it. Let's read the next one, even though we'll come back to it. The depth, the height, the length. To know the love of God, or Christ, which passes knowledge. Seems like a contradiction, doesn't it? And that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. So he's saying what? When you're strengthened in the inner man, and when you mature and you start to grow, you will be able to comprehend. The word comprehend, you will be enlightened. You will be illuminated. The scripture will use different terms. Jesus said he opened their understanding. See, he's going to give you spiritual insight to things you really couldn't understand. But notice he wants you to experience something. To know the love of Christ. Now, this is the love that comes from Christ to us. So he's talking about something. As we grow in grace, we're to grow in relationship. We're to know God differently. But notice what he says. To know the love of God which passes knowledge. Okay, he's gotten into something here. This is what he's talking about in Hebrews when he says those that are milk cannot comprehend this. Spiritual things are to be discerned by spiritual people. And the carnal and even the babe cannot understand some of these things until they get off of milk. So he's saying something. You can know the love of Christ that passes knowledge. What is it? Now he's talking about experience. He's saying you can experience, though you cannot put it into words. See, this is what he's talking about. We have natural illustrations, you know. We have so many. One would be a mother having a child. You know, until you have your first child, women and men can only imagine what it's like. And yet the scripture says what? She hath great sorrow because of the labor pains. But then great joy, you know, when this child is born. And she forgetteth her sorrow. See, the natural man and the woman has never had a child. We can only imagine this. But you have by experience, you have a knowing that passes knowledge. And see, this is what it means too when people are born again. All of a sudden a transaction takes place and they may not be able to put into words, but they know that they know that they know that something happened. And see, it's the same thing in prayer. And this is what the Spirit means. When you go deeper, he says, and the Spirit prays in us with groanings which cannot be comprehended, which cannot be clearly understood. But you understand something's going on. Something's transpiring. So what is he talking about now? You begin to experience something that sometimes you really can't put into words. See, that's the spiritual realm. At times you experience something before you understand it. How many of us really understood when we came to the Lord what adoption meant? What baptism meant? We just had little glimpses, didn't we? And later on, and then all of a sudden when it's like a light goes on, you go, oh. How come I didn't get that before? See, spiritual things are by revelation. Understanding often comes secondary. That's why even speaking in tongues. This Bible says people speak in mysteries and secrets. And they give praise and thanks. But until it's interpreted, it said they don't have understanding. So they're saying what? They've experienced something, but they can't put it into words. You know? But they know something's transpiring. And so this is what he's talking about. There are depths, and many Christians never go deep, so they won't know what you're talking about. There are different levels you can experience certain things, and people can't put it in words. And they can't even quote scripture to you, because you'll sit there and read that scripture with your mind, but you'll have no experience. I can read every kind of medical book I want on what it means to have a baby. I'm still not going to get it, am I? Maybe in 10 years when they change everything I will, but I'm not going to get it right now. So that's what he's talking about. There are just some things you're going to experience. And so this is what that's why some people that aren't very intelligent outwardly are very deeply spiritual. And that's why some people are very intelligent with Scripture, but they don't know God well at all. But they quote the Bible back and forth. See, it's the difference between relationship and knowing. It's the difference between knowing about and knowing personally. See, there's where we get in. Many people know about Christ. They don't know Christ. And they can't experience Him at different levels until certain things are done. Okay, He wants all the saints to comprehend, to understand. And see, the length, the width, the height, it's a cube if you think about it. A lot of people haven't thought of it that way. A cube is a symbol of that which is solid and sure. Some people believe the New Jerusalem is a cube. 1,500 miles, cubics to the left, to the right, and to the height. Some people think it's a pyramid. It don't matter. He's telling us there's substance here. It's no longer two-dimensional. He's saying it's something that's real. And see, it follows what? To the furthest place. Length, the height, the depth. It's saying what? God fills the all in all. And whatever there is to know, He can reveal. But again, He reveals according to our capacity to know. See, that's why the novice and the baby Christian cannot understand the meat of the Word. They have to get past the milk. See, and that's why they will never understand until they spiritually grow up. Or they'll keep going around in circles. Okay, let me give you several scriptures. The height, the length, the breadth, I like 2 Peter. We were on that recently. As he said, to know the love of God that passes knowledge. To experience this is what he means. To experience this love that you cannot put into words. You cannot put into the human language. Okay, it's a part of 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1. Look at 3 and 4 again. As his divine power. This is where he wants to strengthen us with his Spirit. Has given us all things that pertain to life and God. What's the all things? The length, the height, the depth, and the breadth. Everything that needs to be given. Through the knowledge. Now, see the word again? The full knowledge. Just experience now. It's not information. Through the experience of knowing Him who called us by glory and virtue, by which, by Christ, has been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these things we may be partakers of the divine nature. How would he do that? See, we can only know Christ in maturity as we mature. He can't reveal himself at certain levels, and he refuses to. And that's why some people never can go deep. They still think of Christ after the natural, and they cannot understand what he's talking about. Okay, let me give you another one. 1 John. You'll see different levels here. Three levels he'll mention. 1 John chapter 3. Excuse me, chapter 2. Look at the second part of verse 13 and 14. I have written to you, little children. This is the babes. Because you have known the Father. What did he say to them? What has they accomplished? They've known the Father. What did they know? We read it in Romans. And the Spirit bore witness with them, Abba, Father. They know that they're saved. They don't know anything else. They know something transpired. The Spirit bore witness. And that's the minimum. They have to know that they're saved. But he called them little children. Okay, notice the next group. He says, and I've written to you fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. They are able, the fathers, the spiritually deep, are able to comprehend what John comprehended. That Christ was in the world. That God was in Christ reconciling the world. That He was the God of the universe. He was the Creator. He takes them to the deep things, the mysteries of God. And they couldn't share some of these things. They understood these things. These were the ones who went deep. The apostles are a good example of that. But notice the other one. And I've written unto you, young men, this is the in-between state, because you are strong, and the Word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. You can never become a spiritual father until you've passed this stage. See, a lot of people grow in knowledge mentally, but they can never be a spiritual father until they're past this stage. They've understood what it means to warfare and having done all to stand. See, the shallow baby Christian, if he doesn't go on, his experience is up and down all the time. He's constantly being chastened by God until he learns. See, he's beat for his sins if he does not change. And eventually he will be driven out of the kingdom or he'll be driven in. But once he begins to walk in the Spirit and understand the Word of God and put it into practice, it says what? He has power over the devil. The devil don't rule him no more. See, it's practical overcoming is what he's talking about. Okay, I'll give you one more. Go to Philippians. These are just different levels. Remember, some of the Hebrews, he told them he couldn't give them meat. They had to go back to the milk. Well, of course they did. They were thinking about backsliding. They were growing weak and weary and finding fault with God, and he was giving them strong warnings. Because they were thinking about turning away. They were being defeated. And he didn't even call them young men. He gave them what? Sharp warnings. That's what God does. See, if you don't drink the milk and you don't grow in the milk, you'll be driven out of the kingdom. God's way will become too hard for you. See, the first group is what? Those who receive the word with joy. See, they understood that God became their father and they entered into the covenant. And then they were told by their lying ministers, now you don't have to worry about nothing the rest of your life. So they didn't. But they found out that God wasn't like that. He says, no, I'm going to take you on. God has no spiritual babies that are retarded. That's why I keep telling people. You're a baby Christian because you just came to the Lord. If you're a baby Christian after 2 and 3 years, you're a backslider. You got the wrong gospel. Because the Scripture don't tolerate this. See, that's why it gives the warning to grow thereby. Why? Because if you don't grow, when the wind and the storm comes, you cannot be a young man or young woman. You will not stand. And if you're not an overcomer, what happens? You're an apostate. You're a backslider. So you can't enter in to that deeper thing. Philippians. Chapter 2. Look at 14 through 16. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. He's looking for something deeper. And previously he said to know the fellowship of his sufferings, to know the power of his resurrection. Therefore let us, as many as are mature, isn't it interesting the word he used, have this mind. All right, what is the mind of those who are mature? I must go on to the deep things. I can't sit down and say, well, what's the least I can do to get away with it? You're already a wicked servant. No, when you go into maturity, you start to say, what does God require of me? Not what God can do for me. So you cease praying about yourself all the time. You only pray about yourself as relative to God's kingdom. You'll never find a spiritually deep person that's always praying about themselves. See, they can't. They're children tossed to and fro. And God wants them to grow up. He wants them what? To give up their life for his sake. And they got to be mature to do this. So he's saying, what mind should we have if we're mature? That I'm going to forget what's behind me and I'm going on. And I'm going on to the deep things. And I'm going to know God in his fullness. And I'm not going to be satisfied with just enough. I'm not going to stroll down get by lane. Because one day get by lane comes to a dead end and you end up in hell. Many people I know, they just stroll get by lane. See, they're like the wicked serpent. Here, I've done the least that's required, God, and I really didn't like that because you were so hard on me. They were never able to comprehend the deep things of God. Why? Because they didn't have no true love for God. Their love grew cold. See, that's what Paul said, stir up this gift that is in you. Be fervent. See, he told us to do something. Or you grow cold and weary. And you find fault with God and you accuse God because your life ain't going the way you want it. Let me tell you a great secret. It never will if you go on with God. Your life will never go on the way you want it. If it goes on the way you want it, you're going to end up in hell. But you're not going to serve God. See? And we have to have what mind? That I will go on if my family don't go on. If my children don't go on. My husband, if everybody don't go on, I'm going on. And I may shed a few tears, but they're not going to hold me back. Because I have a duty to God. And if I go on, He'll show me the deeper things. And notice what He says here. Have this mind. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. I had that to happen to me one time years ago. I was first time I prayed and fasted for about a week. And that was hard then as it is now. I can tell you, it never gets any easier. You know, the flesh never dies easy. Never changes either after 31 years. That's what I found astounding. Always hard. And I had succeeded in my first fast for a week. Boy, I thought I'd accomplished something. You know, and I was seeking deep revelation. And the eighth morning, the Lord spoke to me, and He gave me deep revelation. He said, take up your cross and follow me. And He spoke audibly to me. I felt a little insulted. You know, I knew that. I've been a Christian for 6 years. I knew all those scriptures about take up your cross and follow me. You know. And then He began to show me, yeah, you think you know what this means. And then I began to have some experiences. This ain't just a simple scripture to say, oh, yeah, I'll just take up my cross today. No, this really means death. It ain't something easy to do, you know. See, I thought I comprehended. And then a week later, after this fast, He gave me another dream. And I'm on a cross, and I see this blood leaving me in my life, and I didn't like it. It wasn't pleasant. And I saw this flower start to bloom in front of me, and a voice spoke to me and said, as you die to yourself, my life comes forth. And all of a sudden, I comprehended the cross. You know, quick way. We only mature as the old man and the old woman's put to death. You ain't going nowhere with God. You may get information. But He's going to test each one of us, and we're going to go to the cross. And it's going to be your family, your friends, your job. It's going to be something. And at different stages of your walk, He's going to test you again and see if you're loyal. And see if you pass the test in certain areas. You know, God don't have to test you no more. A lot of people don't know that. I've experienced that. Certain areas I was tested in, and I can tell you after 10 years I've never been tested in them because I've never gone back to it. It's only when you backslide and you go back or you play with something that you have to go back to the battle again. See, that's why people backslide. They're up and down and back and forth. They never get to the overcoming stage of the young man. See, greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Well, they never learn that because they're always defeated. They won't let go of the world. So they grow bitter and resentful. And they depart from the Lord, is what Hebrews says. Okay, so notice He says, we're to have that mind, that mature mind. And as if anything keeps me from being mature, what am I going to say? I want God to reveal this to me. David was mature. You know what he said? Search me, Lord, and see if there's any wicked way in me. Is there something in me that I don't see, that everybody else sees, and nobody sees, but you see? See, if you're not mature, you know what you do? You avoid it. What can I do to get by with? What can I do to keep God off my back? See, that'll show you where you're at. You know. And he that bears fruit, he pruneth, that he will bear more fruit. See? And pruning isn't pleasant. It never is. But that's what God wants for maturity. And notice what he said. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by that same rule. Let us be of the same mind. What mind? The mature mind. That I'm going on with God. And if something in my life is hindering my walk, then you show it to me, God. And I don't have to go ask 50 people whether they approve of it. Don't be seeking counselors when you know you're disobedient. God will send you demons to counsel you. I've seen that happen over and over again. I've given people sound counsel. They didn't like it, so they found 5 other people and told them what they want. Then they had the nerve to call me back. And tell me that 5 other people told them. I said, well, they're idiots. They don't know Scripture. You know, the people are still idiots because they never go on. See, you can always find what you want. Satan will give you the answer you want. But see, if you have the mind, the mature mind, you're saying, search me, God. I know the things in me I don't see, but you see them. And I'm willing for you to come with the light and show me. And I won't run from the light like a roach. I'll say, well, okay, then we'll have to start working on this area. Because that's what it's going to take. You know, that's what it's going to take. Okay, so you see, that's 2. He says that you will be able to comprehend with all saints. He wants us to comprehend and mature. And see, many a Christian can never mature, and they won't. And they, if they were sitting here, if they listened to this tape, they're going to have one iota of what I'm talking about. It ain't going to register with them. It's not going to register because the Spirit's not going to open their understanding. Say, why? Go back to God's principles. When He reveals the truth to us, we accept it. We don't fight Him. When we say, I don't want to hear this another day, you will not go on with God ever. You can't. See, that's why some people never can go on. They won't deal with what's in hand. They won't let. God told me for 3 months one time, years ago, to do something, and I wrestled and I fought with Him over it, and I rationalized and I reasoned. And boy, I tried every kind of angle to keep from doing this thing. It was very simple, just I didn't want to do it. And He said, you want you to do this. And I tried everything. And I fasted and I prayed. Moved nothing. Fast and pray until you drop dead. He said, I want you to do this. Obedience is better than sacrifice. And when I did the one simple thing, all of a sudden I understood that scripture that really never registered much with me. He says, and the God of peace shall sanctify you wholly, and your whole spirit and your whole soul and body be preserved. All of a sudden I had a peace I didn't have anymore. I knew I had done the will of God. My opinion didn't change. But I did God's will. See, Jonah's opinion didn't change. God worked on that later. But he obeyed God. That was the first step. He obeyed. Don't worry about your attitude. God will take care of that. He wants obedience first. He can deal with the attitude as He's working along. Okay? So He's saying what? He wants us to comprehend the deep things of God. He wants to take us on. But before we can understand the love of God that passes knowledge, before we can be a partaker of the sufferings of Christ and know the love of God that passes knowledge, you have to start obeying. See, He just doesn't reveal things. See, that's why many people say, oh, I wish the Lord would give me something deep. No, He's never going to. He's going to give you what He wants to give you and see if you obey it. And then you will grow. See, spirituality is never imparted to anybody. Isn't that astounding? You never find in Scripture anybody that was ever made spiritual because the Holy Ghost came on them. Never. You become spiritual by obeying God and His Word. See, it's a test. Knowledge doesn't make you spiritual. It just gives you the information to use. But it's the obedience you have to do. See, you can know Scripture back and forth. It'll never make you spiritual. It's when God deals with you in your area and your particular day and He says, this is what I want. And when you try to run from it, you might as well consider from this day on, I'll never be spiritual. And most likely I'll backslide one day because I'll weary God and He'll weary me. See, all we have to do is live today and with what God gives us. You know, that's why I like that word. The Scripture says lot when it refers to our lot. What God, and the word means that which God has given you. You know, so we have to be content. You know, one of the signs of spirituality is you learn maturity by being mature. And you learn to accept your lot today. And as long as you're building air castles and dream castles and you're not dealing today with what God has in hands, you're dreaming a lie. God will never do it. Oh, you might get wormwood and the devil might send you something because he knows it'll bind you, but you never will. See, you're living in a dream world. You're not really living in a real world. And God doesn't want us living in He wants us living in a real world. But we have to live today. And we have to die today to live today. And for the new man to rule, we must say what? No to the old man and the old woman. And that's why we have to have strength. Why? It's not easy. Never was. Dying has never been easy. And it never will. That's why He used the word dying. You know, He used it in the progressive sense. We must take up our cross, bearing in our bodies, our life, the dying of the Lord Jesus. How did He do it? He depended on the Father and the power of the Holy Spirit. Remember, the Lord strengthened Him. And He said angels when it was needed to strengthen Him. And where did He strengthen Him? Not only in the inner man, He strengthened Him on the outward too. But it'll always be the inward first. It'll always be the inward first. Okay, we're finished at verse, but I'm going to go on a little bit. We stopped at verse 19. We will come back to that, but we'll end the lesson from 19.